Amen. If you'd take your Bible, please, tonight and turn with me to start in the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. The last several weeks, we have been laying the foundation, quite a few weeks now, about spiritual gifts. And we're tonight going to begin talking about some of those spiritual gifts. We'll go as far as we can in that. As we go through these, again, we'll do some tonight. We won't get through all of it. But as we go through them, I want to encourage you in this way. Now that you're in Romans or in Ephesians 4, I'm going to read from another verse, but that's okay. Just stay right there. Some of you know most of these two verses from memory. The Bible says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer, supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. So everything is everything, right? So if you don't know tonight what your spiritual gift is, the first place to start is prayer. Because that's part of everything. Lord, would you please help me to know what it is that you have given me as a spiritual gift, not for my own edification, as we talked about one lesson, one whole Wednesday night on edification. I believe we were able to record that one. We're having a little bit of trouble. I think that was so long. I think we have that. If you didn't hear that, please listen to that if you have the ability to go on the Vimeo account. Because my spiritual gift or gifts and your spiritual gift or gifts is not so that we can say we have them. And it's not so people can come pat us on the back. They have been given to us to edify one another. They have been given to us to fulfill our part in the body. Remember, God has put all members in the body. And yet we all have different things that we're supposed to be doing, just like your physical body, okay? That's kind of a bit of review, but I want to really emphasize that in everything by prayer. So if you haven't been praying that, add that to the prayer list. God, show me what are my spiritual gifts. And if we shall ask anything in His name, according to His will, He will do it. So I don't think God is going to hide that information from someone that is seeking to know. What is it, God, that you have for me within this body, the Anchor Baptist Church? So please, let's be praying about that. Now, Ephesians chapter number 4, we're going to look at breaking this down into first section. We might have talked about this a little bit already, gifted men. And then we're going to look tonight at a category that we're labeling as speaking gifts. And we won't get through probably all of them. We might. We'll see what happens. So look at verse number 11 in Ephesians chapter 4. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. We'll stop right there. And let's go ahead and read the next verse. I'm sorry. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And we've read through these verses in previous weeks. So, notice here, the Bible says here, the Apostle Paul says, what are these gifted individuals? Now, we have already covered it in a little bit, that we believe, according to the Word of God, that apostles and prophets are no longer needed in today's church. Okay? And so an apostle is someone who was able to visibly see the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And so I think that disqualifies everybody in the room. I don't think any of us have visibly saw the Lord Jesus Christ when he was doing his ministry work. And prophets, because we have the full Word of God, okay? We don't have prophets anymore who are telling us what is going to happen. Why? Because we have the finished word of God. It's going to tell us what's going to happen. We already know what's going to happen. However, we do believe that God continues to use these next two, really just two, and let's see, evangelist and pastor and teacher. And we're going to lump the last two together to be even just one pastor teacher. So let's see, we have number one, we have evangelist. What is an evangelist? All right, let's take our Bibles and let's go quickly to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And by the way, it is quite possible that God would call even someone from Anchor Baptist Church to be an evangelist. Acts chapter number 8. We could possibly, I don't think it's against the rules. I'm going to, and please, if you don't see that, that's fine. We can agree to disagree. But I believe we could put missionaries in this category as well. And I don't believe that we're doing that a disservice. And you'll see why in just a moment. Acts chapter 8, verse number 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Amen for that? Aren't you glad that somebody preached Christ unto you? Somebody took the time, somebody had the compassion to preach Christ unto you. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And it goes on to tell about the great preaching there in Samaria. And so many things happened. And again, I'm not going to take the time. But we believe, according to the Word of God, that one of the evangelists in our Bible is this man, Philip. And if you glance down to verse number, 26, please. And great things have been happening here in this meeting. But the, did I have this one already? Okay, thank you, Brother Charles. Notice here, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And this is the story, further on reading, you can take the time, of Philip meeting up with the Ethiopian eunuch. Okay? And because as we see the life of an evangelist, they were really, and we've had men come here over the years that say, I'm an evangelist. Who can remember one of the evangelists that we've had? Anybody can shout out a name? Okay, Brother Chauvin. Brother Chauvin is an evangelist. Pastor Turner, what do you mean he's an evangelist? Well, many of you know what that means, but just to make sure, he is someone who for a specific period of time is going to go into a local church, much like Anchor Baptist Church, and it's going to be for a five-day meeting, a four-day meeting, or whatever. And as he said before, used to be seven-day meetings, and it used to be sometimes even eight-day meetings. It would start on a Sunday and go all the way to the following Sunday. Anyway, but these men would evangelize an area. They would come in. They would come in and do like Philip here with the Ethiopian eunuch, but come in like Brother Chauvin for Anchor Baptist Church and come in and challenge the saints, challenge us about our walk with God. And they wouldn't stay. They would be moving on from many people used to do by horseback. Many men would ride horseback from church to church. And I'm sure Brother Chauvin is glad that they have United Airlines and things like that now. But anyway, it's hard to get to the Philippines by horseback. I think it's nigh impossible. Going from church to church, preaching the Word of God, and we've had other evangelists other than Brother Chauvin, but he's the one that we've had the most. Turn quickly now to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 1. The main thing about an evangelist is this. They are not staying at one church for a lengthy period of time. Okay? They're going from church to church, you know, with a one primary message. That is challenging and encouraging the believers, the saints, also preaching the gospel, but it's challenging the believers and the saints to do more for the cause of Christ. Look at Titus chapter 1 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed them." And this is talking about a man by the name of Titus. A man by the name of Titus. Dr. Harold Wilmington says this about evangelist / missionary: the supernatural ability to point sinners to Christ, to burden Christians about soul winning. Think about that. Every day you and I are surrounded by lost people. It is not our job to convert anyone. In fact, you can't convert anyone. I can't convert anyone. But we can spread the gospel. We can take those gospel tracts out of that tray back there. Those gospel tracts are not doing the lost any good sitting in the cupboard. There's no way anyone has a chance with those gospel tracts that sit in the cupboard. And I know you take some with you, so I'm not being unkind there, but it's quite true that they can sit in there and they don't do anybody any good. And so an evangelist comes in and challenges, points sinners to Christ, to burden Christians about soul winning. Then he said, all believers, of course, are to witness for Christ whether they have this special gift or not. It is not a gift to be a witness for Christ. It is a command to be a witness for Christ. So if we're not witnessing for Christ, we can't say, well, I just don't have that gift, Pastor Turner. Let me just tell you, if we're not getting the gospel out as God has enabled us to, and he uses us all in different ways to get the gospel out, there's not only one way to get the gospel out. The best way to get the gospel out is just obey. So if I'm not getting the gospel out in some way, it's not because I don't have the gift of gab. It's because I'm disobedient. But if that's when an evangelist comes in, and he starts pointing his bony finger, you know, and he says, look, if you're not witnessing for Christ, you're not right with God. And that's true. So an evangelist missionary doesn't stay in one place at one time. And that's the same way with even our missionaries. Some of them have been in one place for a long time, but they'll tell you this, their goal is church planting. Their goal is to get a church established and either train men to go start more churches and so forth. Evangelist missionary, number one. All right, number two, gifted men, pastor, teacher. That's from Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. But let's not go back to that. Let's go to Acts chapter 20, please. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, we'll read there in just a moment. Pastor, teacher, these men, you say, Pastor, I'm a lady, can I be a pastor? No, you can't be, not according to the Word of God. We'll talk about that. But I'll tell you this right now. God wants every one of us, male and female, to be serving Him and using the spiritual gifts that God has given us. God has set things in order. God has set you, God has set me within the local church. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman here tonight. The point is this, God has some gifts that he's given you, and we want to make sure that we're using them. We're just kind of going through this particular part tonight. These men remain in the same area. They minister God's word to the local church. Again, this is not to be taken lightly at all. And this isn't about Pastor Turner. This is about the office of pastor. And by the way, any of these things that we're talking about tonight, the evangelist, missionary, pastor, teacher, we are praying that more men would be called to this. This is not something, yes, we need to volunteer, but we need it's different than just a burden for something. But we're praying. We were at a missions conference Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and the prayer of that missions conference was more laborers. I want to use this voice right here anytime God opens up the door for me to go somewhere, and I'm not looking to go anywhere to preach in conferences, but if God opens up a door and allow me to take this voice in using this book right here, that I can go and I can say, hey, we need more laborers. We need to be praying about this thing of laborers for the cause of Christ. This is not the time to have less laborers. This is the time to have more laborers. And what we see here, specifically from the Word of God, that we need pastors that minister the Word of God to the local church that they're called to. And I'm so thankful that I have had pastors in my life from the time I was a baby, an infant, all the way up until the time that I became a pastor. But even today, I have pastors that I can sit and listen to the preaching of the Word of God. We must have, by the way, the Word of God must be the supreme part of why we are serving the Lord. It's because of the Word of God. And the Word of God never fails, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of Ben fails a lot, but the Word of God never fails. And so we want to major on that thing. And we've talked about this. The pastor equips the saints for the work of the ministry. Remember we saw that a few weeks ago? Everyone is in the ministry. Everyone. As soon as you get saved, you're in the ministry. And we're equipping. I want to equip you with God's help. I want to equip you for the ministry, which is why I believe God really has laid this theme on my heart now for all of these many weeks about our spiritual gifts. Not only that, but as pastor, as someone who feeds and protects the family of God. Who's trying to make sure that there aren't any wolves. Who's trying to make sure that we're not giving any place to the devil. You realize that even in a church that says they believe and preach the Word of God, the devil is not intimidated by that one iota. The devil is trying everything to get a slight little foot into your life and get a little bit of that door opened up into your life and my life to wreak havoc and to bring discouragement into our life and to bring disappointment into our life. But hey, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can triumph in everything because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he means to us. That's the pastor's duty and the pastor's job to feed. And it's not a job, but it's a calling to feed and protect the family of God. Acts 20, verse 28, the Bible says there, Acts 20, 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. You've heard me say it. You've heard other people say it. Jesus Christ bought the church, paid for the church. Right there it is. Again, that's why it is so important that we keep this church pure. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ is pure. And what was this church bought with? And we're not talking about the structure. We're talking about you. We're talking about me. We're talking about people. We need to keep our lives pure. Think about what it costs to give you, to give me salvation. Wasn't just any old sacrifice. It was the sinless Son of God who laid down his life. Amen? He laid down his life. They didn't take it from him. He laid it down so that we could have eternal life, so that we could have a pure church, so that we could have these spiritual gifts. For I know this, that after my departing, verse 29, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Grievous wolves. Sometimes they look like sheep, but they're actually a wolf. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Of your own selves within the group. Not from the outside, he says. He says from the inside. to draw away the disciples after them. It is vital. It is vital that we really, and I know I'm repeating this again, but it is very important that we be very careful who and what we're listening to on the radio, on the internet, reading, listening, whatever. We need to be very careful. Just because it's on Carry 550 radio doesn't mean it's good for you. Just because it's on Christian radio doesn't mean it's what you or I ought to be listening to. Be very careful. Use discernment. If you're not sure, please ask. That's why you were given a pastor. And that's not because I'm more spiritual than you necessarily. But I am the overseer. Like it says here, to protect the flock. So be careful. And you know what? It's amazing. It does not mean that you're not able and capable. That is not what this is about. This is about following the order that God lays out in the Word of God. You know what happens when we follow the order that God lays out? We are blessed. Keep reading. For I know this, I just read that, verse 30, verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. 1 Peter chapter 5, quickly. 1 Peter chapter 5. We had dinner with a family this week in the church down there in Washington on Monday night. The gentleman has been certain profession for about 25 years. I can't remember the exact description of it, but he manages like apartment buildings and things like that. And he's been wanting to go out on his own and start his own business. And he thought about it one time a few years ago. And I'm just saying this because I want you to know that this is what, as a pastor, this is what I long to be for you because of God's wisdom that he gives us and God's help that he gives us. And he said, you know what, I really believe that it was what God wanted me to do. But he said, I called my pastor first, and I said, you know what, this is what I think God wants me to do. What do you think about it? They discussed it. His pastor said, I think you ought to take the step of faith and do it. It doesn't matter what it is. I'm just saying, I want you to know that I'm a phone call away. It doesn't mean, men, that you can't make decisions because you call the pastor. You know what it does mean? It means you want God's blessing. It means you want God's direction and wisdom. And if you're missing something, you're praying that the pastor that God has put you under will be able to see it and say, you know what? I don't know if that's the right place or time or thing to do right now. Maybe you ought to hold off on that. And many of you have done that. I'm not saying I need that. I'm just saying I want to be available. I want you to know that it doesn't have to be, oh, I'm thinking about moving from here to, you know, 3,500 miles away. What do you think about it? It might be something very simple, but you know what? Why not get one more viewpoint on it? It might make a big difference down the road in your life. Look what it says here, if you will, in 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you, verse 1, I exhort, who am also an elder, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Would you pray that for the pastor of this church? Would you pray for the pastor of some of the churches that we fellowship with, that the pastors of those Bible-preaching churches would serve willingly? Willingly. I've underlined it in my Bible because that's how I want to be. I want to be a willing servant. Not for filthy lucre. I thank the Lord for the provision that you provide for our family. And I thank you for that here again publicly. But that can't be the motivation. But of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage. This is not my church. This is not the pastor's church. No church is the pastor's. Every church belongs to God. It's not to be lorded over, but it's to be a what? An ensample. And I've underlined that word. Being an ensample. To who? The flock. Would you pray, and I mean this wholeheartedly, would you pray that Pastor would be a biblical, godly example to the flock? That's all we need. That's what we need. And please pray with me about that. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, amen, that's the Lord Jesus. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility. Would you pray that every pastor that stands behind the sacred desk and proclaims the word of God, I'm talking about in churches that are standing on the word of God and the things of the Lord, that they would be men of humility. We don't need pride in the pulpit. And I'm not saying that it's never been that way here. I'm sure that I have been prideful, and I'm sure I will be again. But I want you to pray that God will help me to be a humble man. By the way, humble doesn't mean that we don't have confidence. We can have confidence, just not in ourselves. We have confidence in this book. We can stand on this book with confidence because this book never fails. We can have confidence in the God of this book. And so that's different. That's not being prideful. My confidence must be in the Lord. And so pastor and teacher, pastor shepherds the flock of God. All teachers are not called to be a pastor, but all pastors are called to be teachers. Let's turn to Romans 12, and we're probably only going to do one because my time is just about up. Romans 12. All right, let's look at one of the spiritual gifts tonight, and this is the spiritual gift of teaching. Okay? Spiritual gift that we're looking at, number one, is the spiritual gift of teaching. Romans chapter 12, verse number 7 says, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Teacheth on teaching. What is it to have the spiritual gift of teaching? By the way, this, like many of the gifts that we've mentioned, not that we've mentioned, but this, we have mentioned this in the past, are meant to be developed. They're meant to be developed. Remember, I was talking about that regarding athletics and how that as a young boy, I really loved basketball, but I needed to develop the skills that I had. Some of them might have been given to me through genetics, but much of it had to be developed. Okay? Same thing with spiritual gifts. God has given possibly you the spiritual gift of teaching. Okay? That doesn't mean that if you have the spiritual gift of teaching, that you're going to be ready to teach 5,000 people tomorrow. But it means you want to develop that gift. You want to develop that gift, and so you want to start by teaching two people. I'm just using that as a hypothetical example, thinking of it in that way. This quote, the word teach in its many forms contains the root meaning of systematic teaching or systematic training. Someone with a spiritual gift of teaching is desirous, number one, of studying God's word. We're not talking about teaching in the sense of the university. We're talking about teaching in the sense of edifying the body of Christ. Nothing against teachers in the university. Okay? That's not the point. But the point is, these are what kind of gifts? Spiritual gifts. Now, it could be that someone has the spiritual gift of teaching and they do teach in the public school or they teach in the university. It go hand in hand, but that's not why God gave me or you the spiritual gift of teaching. First and foremost, he gave it for the edification of the church. And so for someone that has the spiritual gift of teaching that is unwilling to use it for the glory of God, you're robbing God. You say, Pastor, I don't know. Again, okay, remember, you're supposed to be praying about this. You're supposed to be praying about this. Someone who's willing and wants to study the Word of God and then impart that truth to someone else. Here's a simplified definition of the spiritual gift of teaching. Someone who is wanting to pass on God's truth in the power of the Holy Spirit to someone else. Again, as we list these, if you think it's the gift that you have, please pray about it and seek God. We are going to give you a spiritual gift test later on. It is not a pass and fail test. Okay? Teaching. Teaching, explaining the harmony and meaning of the scriptures. Teaching can be one-on-one, or teaching can be one-on-many. It could be a Sunday school teacher. Now, I'm going to say something, and I'm not trying to be unkind at all, but it's possible that sometimes there have been Sunday school teachers that don't have the gift of teaching. They're volunteering to just do whatever God wants them to do. What do you mean? Well, there might be people, I'm not saying necessarily Anchor Baptist Church. I'm just saying that could be. That's not meant to discourage at all. But you know what? God says, I've got a round spot for you, not a square one. And so what we want to do at Anchor Baptist Church is we want to take each member, figure out what our spiritual gifts are, and then take that spiritual gift and put it to use right away. Don't you think we'll accomplish a lot more for the glory of God if we're in the right place? I think so. Again, I'm not saying anything about any of our Sunday school teachers right now, Brother Knapp. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the point is this. Praise God for people that want to volunteer and do everything. But I think the better use of our life, which is time, is to make sure that we're using the gifts that God's given us right where we're supposed to be using. It could be discipleship, one-on-one. That can be teaching. It could be junior church setting. It could be vacation Bible school. But again, I want to reiterate this thought. This gift must be developed. So let's say you've been saved for 10 years. I believe God gave you the spiritual gift of teaching 10 years ago. Because I believe that's when you got your spiritual gift. But that's when I got mine, when I got saved. So the question is, have you used that spiritual gift yet? And if not, okay, fine, that's all right. We're gonna discover that that's the case. But now what do? We don't just say, well, I've lost 10 years. I might as well just forget about it. No, we start right here. And we realize, okay, this is something that God has given me. How can I use it to edify the body of Christ? And again, don't think in the masses. Think in just simplistic things. Can you imagine this? Think with me about this, and then we're going to have to stop right here. Think with me about this. Think with me, if you had the gift of teaching and you could impart biblical truths, truths from God's word into one person only in your entire Christian life. Just one. And think if that one person took the teaching that you gave them from the word of God. And maybe that one person then was to take that and use their gifts and influence two people with whatever gift God gave that one person. And then we begin to see how that multiplies. The point is this: God has you in this church to edify somebody in this church. That's the point of the spiritual gift, edification of the body of Christ. And so let's pray this week. God, do I have the spiritual gift of teaching? Pray. In everything. By prayer. So that's the first one we're going to talk about. And we'll talk maybe a little bit about it more as we go through this. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in church.